Chair, Representative Holbrook, I'm wondering why, if that project is was already had appropriation and then the department spent it some other place for, and whoever is supposed to have had the money is kind of left holding the bag, why that wasn't at least rated kind of high by the committee. I mean, it seems to me it was an injustice that needs to be righted.
Well, Representative Solberg, I'm familiar with another situation where MnDOT made an agreement with Ramsey County to replace a bridge, signed a memorandum of understanding, and 3 years later, the bridge still hasn't been replaced, but the county agreed to take back state roads and to do the turn back, and so I don't know that we can always trust MnDOT to keep their agreements. So,
well,
at least that's
Chairman,
been my experience.
I think in this particular case, that's why I want to have a little bit more clarification for it. I thought there was at least you know, an appropriation already made for this project, and then it was spent specifically for this project, but spent in some other part of the state. And I just wanted to clarify that.
Representative Holbrook, do you have any further comment?
Mr. Chair, I believe Representative Hausman would like to speak to this issue.
I'm sorry, Representative Hausman.
It might make Representative Solberg feel better to know we not only restored the amount that was misspent, but we put the additional amount that the project would need for completion. So I think the amount that was spent was 200 and something, and there was 300 and something still needed for completion, and so we determined to fund the entire amount, and that was the department's
I think it would be fair to say that Representative Dill is very pleased.
Yes. Good. Well, please.
Okay. Representative Howes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering if Representative Mahoney could tell me that on this $540,000 for Forest Roads, is that that area represented by a Democrat or a Republican?
I have no idea.
To be a Democrat.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. Are there any further questions for Representative Holbrook and the or concerning the recommendations from the Transportation Finance Committee? If not, thank you very much, Representative Holbrook. Appreciate the fine work from your committee, or Chairman Queasley's committee, I guess. But thank you,
Mr. Chair and committee, for your time.
Next, members, we have Chair Seagren with the recommendations from the K-12 Finance Committee. Welcome to the committee. Welcome, Chair Seagren. Do you want to go through your committee's recommendations, please?
Yes, I will. I'd be glad to, Mr. Chair and members. Members, we followed the instructions of the Capital Investments Chair, and we went through and prioritized our requests, and then we also went through and actually did not recommend some things and zeroed some things out. I want to let the committee know that this ranking and these proposals were voted on and were passed unanimously. We had no dissension in our committee about the ranking or the decisions about how much money that we were going to put within each one of these categories. So bipartisanly, we agreed upon this particular proposal. As you can see, the first priority for us would be to take care of the asset preservation for the Minnesota State Academies. Those are the academies that serve the deaf and the blind in Faribault. Our second priority is to pay for some additional costs in regard to land acquisition for the East Metro Magnet School. Apparently, there has been litigation over the land value in regard to this school, and the administrative law judge has awarded the landowners the $1 million, and so the state must we believe this would be a prudent thing to do. Otherwise, it may end up in court, and we may end up with spending more money. The third thing that we approved was in the library capital improvement grant. Traditionally, we have been paying $1.5 million for disability access grants for libraries so that they can improve access for the disabled. In addition to that, we have decided that we continue to have library building requests or renovation requests before our committee. We are at a disadvantage in our committee because we really don't know which library requests are really the ones that have the most need. We don't know if there's existing libraries in communities, but the library board does. So we propose to put another $1.5 million into this library grant program. The first $1.5 million must be spent for disability access, but the next $1.5 million can go to building or remodeling existing libraries. They will go through a criteria much like they do for the disability access grants, and there will be matching monies that have to be given if they want to get the grant money, and it will be run by the library board. The fourth, and that's number three on our request. The number four, there are four items. We broke them out so you would know what they are. For the Center for the Arts, for the Purpose Center for the Arts, $600,000 for asset preservation, and they have a building called the Beta Building that is full of asbestos. They're using it for storage, but it's so dangerous that when they go into it, somebody has to have a hazmat suit on to go into it, and so they really are afraid the kids might get into that, and so they just want to demolish the building. The fifth recommendation is for the Red Lake Indian Reservation. They have a request to build a middle school. Their request was for $22 million. We decided to give them $16 million. Actually, they had a request for $33.4 million, and they wanted to build a middle school and to add on to their high school and do some remodeling. The governor's recommendation was for 22. We decided to give them 16.7. They have a fund balance. We feel like there are some other ways that they perhaps could reduce some of their costs. The square footage costs were much higher than some of the normal building projects that we've seen in our schools around the state. But we did decide to give them $6.7 million. And then last, the Colin Powell Youth Center is ranked sixth at 4.2. This was a governor's recommendation. It was not originally on our list, but after some discussion with our committee members, they felt that the Phillips neighborhood was deserving of an opportunity to have something like this. And there was a move to put that on the list, and that was accepted bipartisanly. But that is the only deviation from the original list that we had. The rest of the things, as you can see, were zeroed out. We felt that they were not of sufficient merit. And as I said, this was a unanimous decision by our committee.
Thank you, Chair Segrin. Members, are there any questions? Representative House.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Segrin, first I'd like to thank you for the language with the public library grants. Greatly appreciate that. I have two questions on this. Was there any discussion in having more than $3 million or less, and how did that discussion go? And then if this does prevail through the process, where do people go to apply for these grants?
Thank you. There was originally the library folks wanted a $10 million grant for starting to build and remodel. We felt that we wanted to see how this worked first and not just start putting a lot of money into this. There are a lot of needs out there in communities. So we decided to, because of limited bonding, and we knew that we would probably have a limited bonding resources this year, we wanted to at least start the process, and so that's why we came up with the $1.5 million. We believe that, judging from the requests that we had before our committee, that those requests probably could be fulfilled if those were of merit and the communities were prepared to make the matching money for those. That's certainly going to be dependent. We heard from one community that really only had about $100,000 of their match raised. and they needed to raise, I think, $750,000. I don't think that they would be prepared to make that match at this time. You would go to the same group, our board, and the commissioner would also have, it's kind of with the department, commissioner, Department of Education, plus there's a library board or a group of people that give out the disability access grants, and that would be the same group that would be doing that. And there is criteria in law that sets out, you know, what you would have to meet before you would get a grant.
Follow-up, Representative House.
Okay,
Mr. Chair. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, Representative Siegman, the disability grants have been around for quite a few years, and I think we have probably run out of this, the smaller projects that were used to help make their libraries handicap accessible. So probably there's more expensive ones around now for that part, or the library needs to be just replaced, period, so you're addressing that. But is there a criteria on the maximum amount that can be given? I think it was at one time.
Yes. Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up, too, Representative Solberg. Actually, the minimum amount has been increased, even in the disability. So either for the disability access or for the remodeling or renovation, that has been increased so that the minimum will cover some of those. And I think, did it look at a million? It was increased to a million as a maximum. So now I did ask the question in committee about how many more disability access issues do we have, and they did present us with still a very long list of access issues. We wanted to make sure that those were taken care of, and that's why, you know, that minimum was raised, and there are starting to be some of the more expensive ones. We also at the same time didn't want to put an incentive out there to say, oh, well, we've got a big access problem. We just might as well build a new building. Because if that could be fixed, then, and they have an adequate facility and they really don't, they're not growing or anything, you know, then let's do that. Let's not have that as an excuse either to just start building or doing a large remodeling unless it was really necessary. So that's why we did both of those. But thank you. That was a very good question.
Any follow-up, Representative Solberg?
No, I think that.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Siegman, I'm looking at the projects that were not recommended, and you said that your committee didn't feel that they had merit. Did you have a criteria for the merit?
Representative Siegman.
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy. Yes, I think what we generally looked at was you know, based on our instructions from capital investment to be as frugal as we possibly could, look at the really urgent needs of situations and looking at how much impact that this would have if the community could maybe do some of the raising of the money themselves. We kind of tried to look at, could some things be put off for another year? Or two, you know, until could they come back? And so there were a number of things that we looked at. We also we had a very open process in committee. We brought forth recommendations, and I said, look, this is an open process. If you want to rearrange the rankings, if you feel they need to be changed, if you look at something that's been zeroed out and you really feel like it is something of merit and you want to convince us of that, please, you know, let's have at it and really have the debate. But as I said, I presented all of these recommendations, and they were unanimously adopted without any discussion at all.
Just a clarification then, Representative Siegman, the committees, when the committee's list here that is in front of members says not recommended, those projects were indeed not to be included in the capital investment deliberations?
Mr. Chair, it was our instruction that if we didn't feel they had merit, that we would not recommend them. Now, it's certainly your committee's purview. If you got some extra dollars and, you know, once you reexamine some of these issues, that you certainly, that's within your purview. But for us, we felt that we had, you know, grappled with the issues and felt like we had made the most prudent recommendations that we could fiscally.
Well, Chair Seguin, in reality, according to House rules, that's not true. If your committee says they are not recommended, then that means that this committee cannot include them in their in the capital investment bill as it moves forward. So,
Mr. Chairman, I think that's a distinction we should have from them, though, whether they're not recommended or whether they're neutral.
That's my
recommendation.
Okay, just let's reiterate this point to make it clear. Okay,
they were agreed to be not recommended.
Okay, so, all right, are there any further questions or inquiries of the recommendations of Chair Seguin and the Education Finance Committees? Okay, if not, thank you very much, Chair Seguin. You can congratulate your committee. They did very fine work. Next, the recommendations from the Jobs and Economic Development Finance Committee. Representative Gunther, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Our committee chose 11 high priority items, and they are not ranked in order. Nor are the priority items ranked in order, but they all.
Representative Gunther, you heard the fine presentations from the Transportation Finance Committee and the K-12 Finance Committee.
Well, our committee thought they were all great. See,
that's not exactly what we wanted to hear, but well, continue, Chair Gunther.
Anyway, Mr. Chairman, we rank very highly on our list the bioscience projects. We think that's going to yield in the future many good high-paying jobs, and we are, after all, the Economic Development Committee. And so the bioscience building in Rochester certainly is one of our highest priorities, as well as the bioscience infrastructure. And where the governor had $15 million for the bioscience infrastructure, we thought it should go statewide, and indeed should handle it just like the governor did. So we didn't designate any projects, although there were many projects presented to our committee. So we took the bioscience committee's recommendation of $40 million. And we thought an RFP process could work very well for those projects that needed to be done, and we have a lot of confidence in DEEP. With that, we have also another one of the governor's recs, permanent supportive housing. And where that wasn't heard until the last day, somebody found out it didn't have a bill. Lola, we recommended it very highly. We missed another one, Mr. Chairman, and that was in our neutral side, we have wastewater and drinking water and wastewater EPA. That $16.28 million yields about $300 million worth of projects, and that was truly an oversight. But we had all the confidence that you had the governor's recs in your best pocket, and then you would take care of them.
No. Nothing there.
Nothing there? Okay.
I got him.
Oh, you got him. Okay. Somebody's got him.
Yeah.
So, continue, Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The wastewater infrastructure fund, there was a proposal for $40 million, but we cut that down to $10 million because that will leverage all the federal money there is. And we knew that the debt service on $30 million was rather expensive. We had to look forward to that for 20 years. So what we look at is wastewater at $10 million, the governor's recs. And that yields about $160 million worth of projects with the federal funding. And we thought that was very good. Then Bayport has a special circumstance with their sewer project. Very unique thing, and I think we heard it for about 3 or 4 years, and I thought it was very necessary to get that one completed finally, and so we put that very high on our priority list. St. Stephen's, another one the same way.
Representative Gunther, since these were, I presume this was a bill introduction, shows Representative Severson, St. Stephens, can you give us some indication as to, is this correct? It says House File 58.
Mr. Chairman, yes, it was. It was one that was held, one of the four bonding projects that were held over from last session. It was one of those that the governor vetoed and didn't come back last year.
Why didn't it go through the process? Why wasn't it a submittal? If it's, I presume it's a local project. Why wasn't it submitted to the Department of Finance and go through the process this year?
Mr. Chairman, all I was told is there were four projects that were supposed to be held over, and the Speaker reminded me of them, and so we put those on our list. The bill was not heard in our committee this year. It was heard last year. Consequently, we acted on those bills that were not heard. Make it through that, and I don't think any of the rest of them made it.
Chairman,
can
we ask?
Representative Solberg.
Before the Speaker directed you to put on?
I can't remember what they were. Let me look at them here if we got time. Lippman,
Mr. Chairman, if I could.
Bayport, Stevenson's. Can you remember any of the
others? Well, I was just going to say that, if I could, Mr. Chairman, that
Representative Durlock.
That I don't want Chairman Gunther to be misunderstood. The Speaker did not direct him to put these on the list. The Speaker reminded him that these were four projects that were heard last year and that they should be considered this year. The Speaker did not direct the committee.
That's correct.
That. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the fine correction.
You're welcome.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I might ask.
Representative Mahoney.
Gerlach, were you there when the reminder was made?
Chair, Representative Mahoney, Gerlach.
I'm omnipresent.
Oh. I better.
Okay. Representative Gunther, let's continue then.
Okay. Representative Pennis is... infrastructure repair and municipal complex relocation is part of the flood package from Roseau, and we are responsible for public buildings and public infrastructure in our committee, and these are the things that are necessary to get them finished, and we have the full cost of $13.160 million, and it's $3 million above the governor's recs, but we thought as long as we're doing it, we might as well do it right.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Solberg.
I don't want to be continuing asking questions, but do FEMA monies come into play there?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Solberg, we have gone through and interviewed FEMA several times last year and this year, and we are sure that we have wrung out every dollar we can out of FEMA.
So, Mr. Chairman, this is a municipal complex at City Hall?
City Hall, the museum, library, all complex, all going together. Police and fire also.
Representative Solberg, do you have any additional questions?
No. They can see the plans for all... kind of a building you could build for $13 million. Probably even put a hockey rink in it.
Maybe not.
You need another $6 million.
Okay.
Hi.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Continue on your list.
Roseau, by the way, did take care of their hockey arena that was along with their hospital. They wanted to make sure that was there, so they did sandbag that building.
Good.
Mr. Chairman, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
I mean, they sandbagged the hockey rink, but didn't sandbag the library?
The water plant and there were four things they had time to sandbag. Hospital was another one, and there was one other that
would be a good priority, but I have to tell you the truth, I think the library in the city hall would have been a... I've been in the arena in Roseau many times.
I think the other one, Representative Solberg, was Polaris. They took care of the thing that fed them.
That seems reasonable as well. But
and Mr. Okay. Chair, Mr. Chair, I think if I might...
Representative Mahoney, let's...
Just to answer, the Roseau City Hall, apparently, if I remember the committee hearing right, was pretty close or right in the floodplain. So that was kind of a lost cause before it started. I will give Roseau that.
Okay. Let's, Representative Gunther, let's continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The biotechnology and health science projects infrastructure, we went with the committee's suggestion of $400 million for infrastructure grants. We did not break them out, like I said earlier. And that's why the difference between the governor's recs and our committee's recs.
$40 million.
$40 million. That's what I said, isn't it? 40. 40 million. The other high priority recommendation was from Hennepin County, the Colin Powell Youth Center, the Youth Leadership Center was one of the governor's recs, so we went and funded half of the project at $6.35 million. And then,
Mr. Chair,
just 1 second. Okay, just Representative Silver.
Did we just have it on education? And is it doubling the cost, or is it just putting it in a couple places like we've seen?
Members, if you're familiar with this process from previous years, any project can be requested by a committee or go to a separate finance committee. So this project was merely requested to be heard also in the K-12 finance committee. So,
Mr. Chairman, my question is this are we supposed to consider the 6.35, that's this one, or the recommendation from the K-12, or is that a double?
No, it's. I hope we're not funding things twice. I hope we have the skill and the ability here to not double fund projects. So, Representative Gunther, let's continue down the list then.
The last item we had in high priority was a waste treatment total maximum daily load grants. We're developing a fund, statewide fund. And it's in response to a federal government environmental issue, and it's Representative Lanning's proposal, and I didn't know it nearly as well as he did, so if you would like to ask questions about it, he's here to answer them. It is something that has matching grant programs, covers all capital costs necessary for waste treatment upgrades. So the total daily maximum daily solids issue is getting to be a very big issue for environmentalists, and it is hooked on to wastewater treatment plants, and that is the thing that brings it up, and it could be high in ammonia or high in many others, copper, whatever it is, and this grant will help them take care of that problem, so it protects our public waters.
Representative Gunther, what are we bonding for?
We're bonding for $25 million that will be taken care of by the Public Facilities Administration, who will issue grants for this new federal proposal.
Grants to do what?
To take care of the daily maximum loads from a waste treatment plant into public waters.
To make grants to make improvements in waste treatment facilities?
So they don't close down those projects, those wastewater treatment projects.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Gunther, would two questions, I guess. One, is this a new initiative?
Right.
And second is, how does it compare with the WIF grants of the past, or would there be it? Because there's a process set forward, so the most needy projects would be funded first under the WIF is Would there be a similar system set up under this new daily load grants?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Fuller, yes, sir, this will be set up in addition to the WIF program, and it will be set up to handle this new daily maximum load legislation put forth by the federal government.
So, Mr. Chairman, Representative Gunther, there's federal matching dollars here as well?
Local matching dollars, 50-50.
Thank you.
Representative Gunther, again, if this was this is not a project or a concept that went through the normal process.
Mr. Chairman, this was a bill proposed by Representative Lanning in Senator Sams. And, would you like to have Representative Lanning give you a more educated overview of this? I heard it once.
Well,
it's all your time frame is yours.
I guess again, maybe there's been as you know, and as I think all members know, there's an extensive process here by which we try to delineate projects. If there are projects that are requesting. If these are state agencies, their requests needed to be submitted to the Department of Finance last July. If there were local projects, they needed to be submitted to the Department of Finance last November. So for members to have projects, particularly of this magnitude and this size, that they bring to a committee this late in the process, it certainly seems to me that makes it extremely difficult for your committee or for this committee to really weigh them in terms of what they're how they're going to stack up against all the other hundreds of projects that have gone through the process. So I just it's rather surprising to have a project of this size and scope that is put on a list of high priorities from your committee, having obviously not a great deal of information or background of what it's for.
This particular type of grant is not covered by WIF grants, so this is an addition to. It is still having the same effect on communities by able to shut down the economic development of those communities unless we have some way to handle this. And in the case of Representative Lanning, they just finished a sewage treatment plant 11 years earlier than that passed all MPCA requirements. And yet the total daily maximum loads and as they applied to ammonia were not satisfactory. So that community had to then and has the onus now to have to come back and redo this process. And they thought that because this is such a new and important issue to the federal government as well as the MPCA, and it's not covered by WIF grants, that this would be a proper thing to do to start another grant proposal to take care of this particular uncovered problem.
Mr. Chair. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair. Representative Gunther, help me out. I thought that the grants programs for wastewater treatment was kind of done away with for communities, that they were mostly loan programs and were paid back through user fees. Is this strictly a grant? And maybe I'm mistaken on the changes that were made to the wastewater facility grants.
There is a combination of both grants and loans, Representative Solberg. We also have the Rural Development Department involved in them very greatly, especially in Greater Minnesota.
Yeah, I realize that, and most of those are loans, I think.
I think there's a significant amount of grants. There is a maximum we can give as a grant, so some loans apply after that.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, is there a loan portion of this also, or is it 100% grant?
Grant.
Okay. All right, Representative Gunther, let's continue.
Okay, Mr. Chairman,
The Phelan Boulevard proposal is here for $4 million. It is a proposal that we have got significant investment in already with state dollars, and it continues to have more help from us to finish that project. Minnesota Historical Society, Fort Snelling Revitalization. We have $4.74 million to complete that. There's cedar shingles and many other things are falling apart in Fort Snelling, and we think that is a Minnesota treasure that is worthy of saving.
Mr. Chair, can I just ask?
Representative Fulbert.
We had the opportunity to go out to visit Fort Snelling. Does this full 4.7, does that handle both the needs of the interpretation of Fort Snelling itself and the other two buildings that we're talking about having some additional use for hotel private investments?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Solberg, I'll defer to Representative Mahoney, who's our Fort Snelling expert.
Fort Snelling expert, late in life.
Mr. Fort Snelling expert.
The $4.7 million includes, I'll start at the one end and just work through it. The visitor center has to have extensive remodeling and expansion. The two barracks need to be evaluated, redesigned, and some feasibility studies done. There has to be some stabilization of the actual fort and the brick along with the roofs. This allows, it's primarily planning, designing, drawing up the prints. There is a part of it that does do the stabilization and the repair to the point where they can come back. I think they're planning next in the next cycle to come back. Well, I'm going to say $15 million. I could be off $2 or $3 million either way because I don't remember it off the top of my head. But it's primarily design, planning and design, and some stopgaps right now.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if we can get that broken down into some important parts for that at some point. How much for stabilization, how much for the barracks, how much for the other parts?
Certainly we can do that, Representative Solberg. Okay, Representative Gunther, let's continue then down the list.
Next we have the Minneapolis Planetarium and Space Discovery Center. And that's $24 million. And that goes along with the new Minneapolis Central Library. The Ordway Performing Arts Center renovation, $10 million. Lowry Avenue Corridor, $5 million. This is Representative Laurentian Energy Authority Woodyard Construction for $2.5 million. And then we have the Lewis and Clark Rural Water System for $2 million. Minneapolis Park and Rec Board asked for the East Phillips Cultural Community Center for $3.5 million. These are in no particular order as far as a priority, but they are all deemed as a priority item. The Walker Area Community Center and the Historical Sites Network Asset Preservation for the Historical Society is $7.167 million. The local county and local historic preservation grants at $2 million. And then we have the Central Range Sanitary Sewer District Authority facility pre-design grant. In that area of the country, we're talking about going through rocks, so they need to pre-design it as much as they can. That's $1.6 million. And then we have the Sears Site Contamination Cleanup Healthcare Institute for $5 million. They want to get the old Sears building ready for things like training young people to go in the healthcare professions. Two Harbors Wasteful Treatment Center, basin and tank. In Two Harbors, they have sewage running down a basin into Lake Superior, and they are being asked to do something within 300 days. Emergency riverbank restoration for Crookston. That's where they have great chasms like sinkholes going all the way through the community down by the river, and they have streets that are cut right in half with 1 foot drops right in the middle of the streets. It's a natural disaster. The J.D. Rivers Urban Agriculture Awareness Center for $2.5 million. And I forgot the Pine Grove Park Zoo in Little Falls for $812,000. Buffalo Lake Maintenance Garage and Street Repair for $635,000. Empowerment Zone Highland Park Redevelopment for $9.625 million. Raspberry Island, this is another one that was from last year, I believe, wasn't it, Ms. Hausman? For $5 million. That's maybe appropriate with the upcoming Grand Excursion. The Virginia District Steam Heating System that is in great disrepair, that has most of Virginia, Minnesota hooked up to it. It is getting some federal help, and they want $5 million for that. Contaminated land cleanup grants for South St. Paul. That was another previously had one for Representative Sieben, and to clean a blighted area up in South St. Paul for $3 million. Winona, Great Shakespeare Festival Theater, $125,000. Kelly Farm land acquisition to create buffer zones because of the encroachment of development around the Kelly Farm, $700,000. ASCO Water Treatment Plant and Sewer Water Main Extension. This is something that I was not in committee to hear. So they say that that is a great hardship on that community. Olivia, the Center for Agricultural Innovation. Renville County is the one county that has tremendous ag innovation, and they want $2 million for the Innovation Center. They have 8 co-ops that create ag income of 8% higher than any other county in Minnesota. Broadband Infrastructure Grant Program to help hook up those communities that cannot get hooked up to broadband and who have a tremendous economic disadvantage, and that they can't have a Chrysler or a Ford dealership or many other dealerships and businesses without that. Or Minnesota, for example, I believe, without broadband could not have their Ford dealership. Duluth Sanitary Overflow Storage. This is a problem with Duluth, Minnesota. It's their storm sewer runs over. They need a place to capture that water so they can treat it and take care of it the right way. Roontrop Farm, one of the metro area's only dairy farm that's still here. It's in Maplewood. They need to finish their project with $150,000. Burnsville Water Treatment Facility. This is a program that they have a gravel pit that the communities around there need drinking water desperately. They have 10 million gallons a day that seep into this pit, and they need to have, in order to get the price of the water down so it's a marketable price, so they don't suck the aquifer down too low because of the rapid growth in Lakefield, in Burnsville, and in that area. They need to get this project done so they can buy the cost of their water down to a competitive price. Itasca County, training and technical grant, technology grants, $2 million. There again, I was not in committee for that proposal. I had to go to another leadership meeting. And then we have the University Research Park Capital Projects. I think, Mr. Chairman, that should be covered under the $40 million bioscience grants. And lastly, Representative Rhodes, Minnesota Schubert Performing Arts and Education Center for $10 million. That is what my committee deemed were high, were priority items.
Okay, then you have you want to go through the remainder of the list then, Representative Gunther?
Certainly. These are the items we considered a neutral. We don't consider them a priority. And like I mentioned, the one that was missed was the drinking water capitalization grants of $16.28 million that leveraged itself for $300 million worth of projects with federal money. And we have Minnesota Historical Society capital 2005 finishing projects for $605,000. Minnesota Historical Society Heritage Trails, $400,000. Network Master Plan for Minnesota Historical Society, $500,000. Biomass Fuel Community Energy System redesigned, $1 million. That uses burning wastewater or waste woods and biomass products to produce heat similar to the St. Paul District Heating System in universities, colleges, as well as cities and products, projects for government entities. Entertainment and Convention Center in Duluth, $3.331 million.
Representative Gunther, is that
this project did not get a these projects did not get a recommendation from our committee.
I'm just wondering what the project is. Is that the new hockey? Okay, new hockey rink at the deck.
Play a lot of hockey.
Okay. Continue then, Representative Gunther.
If I could pronounce the word, I would. Representative Lanning, how do you pronounce that word? Interpretive Center. Okay, you got it. I'm glad there's some Scandinavians around. $1 million. And River Flats Interpretive Facility from in Hastings from Representative McNamara, $1 million. That finishes our list.
Thank you, Sam Gunther. Are there any questions? Representative House.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Gunther, I've got an easy one. Did you total these up or?
No.
You're leaving that up to us.
Please.
Way to be honest. Thank you.
Just a quick, the totaling up just in your list of high priorities. High-priority items, Representative Gunther, from what the governor's recommendation was to the dollars requested that you have, you're about $100 million over what the governor's request was. Did you have any suggestions for what we, what else we should cut out, like maybe University of Minnesota or somebody else in order to try to Our hope was that the House would come in a little lower than what the governor's recommendation was, but I'm just I'm a little curious as to why you came in.
Your high priority list math is different than mine. We have $25 million higher, 70 million higher. You're close. Do I have any recommendation what you do? this is a wonderful committee, and I have all the confidence in the world that you. I don't have one proposal in here, Mr. Chairman.
Anyway, I just was wondering again. Obviously, in some areas, you have either a new initiatives or you have funded, for example, in the biotech and health science projects, significantly higher than what the governor's recommendations were. So I'm just a little curious as to some of the discussions that the committee members had.
Mr. Chairman, the committee's recommendations were based on the fact that we believe that biosciences are going to pay back the state of Minnesota very quickly for what we get, not only in real dollars and tax dollars, but also in up to 35,000 new jobs. And I think it's probably the best, if not close to only, real economic development thrust we're going to have in this state in the near future.
Okay. Other questions by committee members? If not, thank you, Representative Gunther. We appreciate the work of your committee.
You're welcome.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I'm looking back at the education list, and I don't know what instructions that you gave the committee. Is there a possibility they didn't understand the difference between not recommending neutral, do you think? From your instructions and from what Representative
Seeger said? Well, I met with the chairs of the finance committees, I believe on at least two occasions. I met individually with them, and I met several times in groups with them. We reviewed what the House rules are, that there are three ways or three specific ways to rate or rank projects. One is recommended, the other is neutral, and the other is not recommended. I then also I think in other emails communicated with them and made that hopefully quite clear. I also ask each of the finance committees to rank order the projects. I think all the committees worked to try to accomplish that. Obviously, as you heard from Chairman Osment, based on the number of individual items that were in their committee, it was that's a pretty difficult task, particularly when a lot of them were quite small in terms of the dollar amount. So I think we've seen that those committees which had a smaller list to deal with, that's a much easier task to take on in ranking, rank ordering the projects. When you get to obviously environment, Finance Committee and the Jobs Economic Development Finance Committee, the ranking becomes a much more difficult process. So I have to believe that Chair Seegren and the Education Finance Committee understood those instructions, and as Chair Seegren said, this list was presented to the committee, it was discussed, and it was voted on, and she said the vote was unanimous, so I have to think that they were quite clear in what they were doing. We may not like what they were doing, but they were quite clear in what they were doing, as I understand it.
Just, Mr. Chair, I was just making the observation that it seems like every committee, I might be wrong because I haven't been here all the time, every committee chose to bring or carry the projects to this committee without priority, except that one. By making them neutral.
That's not correct. Representative Murphy, the
for that clarification.
The State Government Finance Committee did forward a list that had projects that were not recommended. They had recommended, they had some that were neutral, and then they had projects that were not recommended. So the State Government Finance Committee did also.
Thank you for that clarification.
We have a motion on the minutes from the the March 10th meeting.
Been here a long time.
Yes, it might be here.
That's the problem when there are no windows in it.
Yeah, so. Representative Hausman, did you want to move the minutes? March 10th, I'll clarify there. Any additions, corrections, deletions to the minutes? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those who are opposed? The minutes are adopted. Members, we're going to be back here for regular committee times next Tuesday and Wednesday. We are going to be taking public testimony, so we have posted the areas under which we will be taking public testimony, i.e. higher education, environment, jobs, etc., and we would ask people to call the committee and sign up if they would. We will obviously entertain people who don't sign up, but we would hopefully like people to sign up so we can get an idea of how many testifiers we may have that would like to make comment. So this will be our the opportunity for anyone who wants to come and give us their pitch on what a great project they have or give us other information. So that will be occurring next Tuesday and next Wednesday. Representative Hausman.
Just to clarify, in other words, you'll give a time certain if they want to comment on any part of the environment bill or a time certain for any part of the transportation.
Well, we aren't going to be able to give them a time certain, but we would say that we'll, in order, we will start to, you know, we'll take jobs first, or we will take transportation, and we'll move through the list by category. So, for example, if you felt that your project should have been ranked higher than what the committee did, this is your opportunity. This will be the opportunity for the public members to come forward and give that pitch. So that's what we're going to be doing next Tuesday and Wednesday. Representative Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We had a number of projects that were presented directly to this. Would we invite those for a second time around to the same thing, or would that be considered?
Well, again, I understand that the obviously, the finance committees have taken time, but we wanted to, before this committee, I mean, obviously, most of us serve on different finance committees, so you may have heard a number of things that the rest of us didn't hear and the like. So.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. What I meant is they made presentations here at the Capital Investment Committee. The Minneapolis group did, the University of Minnesota group did,
those groups that have had an opportunity to present, we would probably ask them not to take up time, committee time from others. I understand. Yes, we will try to make sure that, as I said, obviously the saying University of Minnesota and Minsku had an opportunity to present to the committee, so did Minneapolis, St. Paul, Duluth. So we will ask that they not probably take up time. But I'm saying if there are some other public members that want to testify, we had the institutions come before us. We did have the Minnesota Student Association come. They did have an opportunity to comment. But, again, we want to try and concentrate on members of the public who want to come. We will hopefully not have paid representatives. We, again, want to get to members of the public. So, Representative Kelleher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just going to say for the record, I kind of like my ranking, so I don't want to jeopardize that. But I wanted to ask you if this, the purpose of next week is that, you know, people can come at will. Is there going to be another opportunity where you may have questions as a chair, or we may have committee questions about particular projects where we may ask people specifically, maybe even as paid representatives, to come in and tell us a little more about the project if we have questions, or are we going to do that or not in this time?
Obviously, as we go through the process, we may have other questions of either the sponsor of the project or of the agency. So I would hope that when we do that, that they would be available for committee members' questions. But obviously we don't want to, at some point in the future, start taking a lot of public testimony on given projects.
So,
i.e., I don't want to sit and, say, debate a project and then have testimony back and forth on a project.
So, Mr. Chair, your intent for next week is this is sort of a more open mic mm-hmm. time when people can come in.
Yes.
Is the scenario, I guess I'm trying to get a sense of time here, whether than asking specific projects or people or authors to come in, is that happening next week as well, or is that going to be in a future timeline?
Well, if you're a if you're an author of a bill, hopefully you had your time to present your bill and your project before the committee, the Finance Committee. Again, this is, as I said, we're trying to appeal to the public.
Right. Mr. Chair, maybe I'm not being clear. I mean, we just, you, in the earlier statement, you said there might be a time when you have questions of a specific project. Mm-hmm. So I meant to lump all those people together because you mentioned authors of the bill, so I don't mean that someone would come in and do their presentation again, but if that is going to be sort of, I'm trying to get a sense of time, like, are we talking, we're a couple weeks out here of doing
what
this
sort sense of time of what?
Of a bill coming together from this committee?
Our time frame is that we're going to do, have a bill move forward to Ways and Means and hopefully vote it off the floor before Easter.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
That's the time frame that's the time frame we're all dealing with. So, obviously, we, as far as public testimony, we will try to limit those presentations to just a few minutes. Representative House?
Mr. Chairman, you had sent out, or maybe your staff had sent out earlier, kind of a rough schedule, and you did have the day that the bonding bill would be heard on the floor is April 1st. Would you change that day, Mr. Chairman?
I thought that would be a very inappropriate date there.
That's what
House.
I was thinking too, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. All right.
We knew that was it.
If there's no further business to come before the committee, committee's adjourned.